This is Dr. Hardin, and I just want to say to all of you that are watching this morning, thank you so much for watching. And this is a day that God have made, and we are rejoicing, and we are glad to be a part of this day. I just want to thank God for you that's tuning in, and you that's going to tune in later, or you that may see this at a later date. I pray that it would have the same effect, that there would be nothing lost by you hearing it at a delayed time, and that God's blessing will be upon you, and that God will bless you, and that God will forever keep you ahead and not below, that you are the head. I want to thank God for you. I want to praise God for just having the opportunity to bring you some moments of inspiration. As I always said, these are moments of inspiration, not moments of frustration, moments of inspiration. And I'm glad to be a part of just a minute part of your life that you tune in. If it wasn't for you, I would not be able to just say these are moments of inspiration. But I thank God for you that tunes in every Wednesday morning just to help me share with you what God has put in my heart to share with you. I'm going to open up in prayer. Dear God, I thank you that this is a day, God, you've made, and I am rejoicing and I'm glad for it. Thanking you, God, for those that's going to tune in on today. Thanking you, God, for your blessing and for your tender mercy and for everything, God, that you have done and everything that you are continuing to do. I thank you, Father, that without you, I can do nothing. But with you, God, I can do all things. I pray for the sick today, God, wherever they are. I pray for those, oh God, that are having hardship. I pray, God, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would bless God as never before. In your name, God, pull down strongholds, break the power of the enemy, heal sick bodies, regardless of what it is, God, cancer, diabetes, or the coronavirus, whatever it is, God, or a lung problem, a heart problem, a migraine, headache, a car accident, a fall, a house, whatever, God, the body is going through. We ask, God, now for your healing, and we manifest, we praise you, and we believe, God, that you're going to do it. And by faith, I thank you, God, for blessing this message to enter into the hearts of men and women. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. Thank God for Sister Patricia and Minister Valen. And I see you, Sister Charlotte. And I thank God for all of you that are tuning in. I will be able to call some of your names. Some names I may not be able to get to that they're coming. But I just want you to know that I thank God for you. On today is a day that we should be celebrated. But what I want to say to you, because of all the things that have happened and all the stuff that are going on, it looked like that the United States of America taking a backward step, went way back to the before the turn of this century, into the 1800s, that they want to bring back those things back into America, the United States of America. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. And he said, Jesus said, "For if ye forgive men their transgression," forgive men of their transgression. Thank you, Sister McQuarter. If you forgive men of their transgression, then your Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their transgression, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, or a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What is their reward? Their reward is that people thought that they were sad and they were honest and they were true, and that's the reward they got, but they got nothing from God for being a hypocrite. So in today's message, I want to take my time and share with us that a part of this, I want to share with us, and what I want to share with you is simply, we are obligated to forgive whether they deserve it or not. We're obligated to forgive whether they are obligated or not. I know sometimes myself and many of us have a hard time forgiving people for stuff that they've done. But God, they did this and they did that, da 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 da. But we must forgive them regardless if they deserve it or not. Now, I know that most of you, I pray that you did. If you didn't, you'll get a chance to watch it later on today. And I thank you, and I count it a privilege that you tuned in to Moments of Inspiration. This is a grand day for a new president. Joe Biden, and Vice President Kamala Harris. So when we look at this, this is a day in history. They've sworn in. They are the new leaders of the United States of America. And they had a great inauguration. It was really fantastic all the way from the beginning and to the end. Glad to see you, Shamar. Thank you so much for joining in. So it's from the beginning to the end, and it was great. And that's what we got to look at. It's a new beginning. We've had some years here before us that looked like every day it grew miserable. And some days it was just hard to bear. That's why I want you to forgive. You got to be like Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing towards the mark of a calling, of a high calling in God, that we can go farther now, that we can look at the past and let the past be the past. That's right, let the past be the past. But we don't want to allow ourselves to keep stumbling over what have transpired in these last few years and these last few days. I mean, we've seen things in the last few days that we never thought that we would see in the United States of America, but we did see it. Thank you, Brother Brooker, for Jay Brooker, for watching. But we never thought we'd seen. So the power of God is released every time we forgive one another. Every time you forgive one another, or forgive a person for something they've done, the power of God is released in your life. And your, if it's your, sometimes it's, if your family may hurt you, it may be somebody in the church, it may be somebody on your job, it may be a friend. But when we forgive the principle of darkness, the devil himself, when we forgive, the power of hell is neutralized by such an outpour of grace. That's right, by such an outpour of grace. And so look what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, and I'm sorry, not Corinthians, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11 through verse 15. Note what he tells us. He said, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hand. So he was talking to the Christian that had came out of Judaism and into Christianity. And the Jews was telling them that they had to be circumcised. And so Paul said, in whom also ye are circumcised with circumcision made without hand. The blood of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, that was your circumcision. So he said, in putting off the body of the sin of flesh by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who have raised him from the dead. So he said that you are born again. If you're born again, you was raised with him through the death. When Jesus Christ got up out of the grave, we got out of the grave. We got out of the hinge of the law, because the law was a director telling us what to do, but didn't tell us how to do it. Jesus Christ came in and he lives in us, and that helps us to do things that we don't know how to do. Then he said in verse 13, and you being dead in sin, in your sin, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened, that means made alive together with him, having forgiven you of all your transgressions. So we are alive with Jesus Christ. That's right. We're alive with Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he rose again. When we accepted him, we rose from the dead also. When we rose from the dead, verse 14 said, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was the contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So Jesus nailed all our sin. Thank you, Sister Paula Goodall, for watching. Now, he nailed all of our sins to the cross. And so we are no longer, when we accepted Christ, we are no longer held responsible for trying to keep the law, because Jesus went above the law. Loving kindness he put in us. He put gentleness in us. He put forgiveness in us. He put temperance in us. And all of those things, the fruit of the Spirit, he put in us. And so when those fruit of the Spirit are in us, this is what the big change here. And verse 15 said, and having spoiled principalities and power, that means control it, taking it, take control of a principality, and took control of all of his power he had, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. So he led captivity captive. And so you and I was captive by sin. Sin had us under his control. And after, and knowing that sin had us under his control, God said, I'm going to do something that I haven't done. I'm going to give you power over sin. Power over sin, and sin have no more power over you. And one of the writers, I believe it was Ezekiel, said, it seemed like that the power of darkness had more power than the power of light. It seemed like we were suffering more than people that did not believe in God and didn't follow the commandment. But God said, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you what forgiveness is, because a lot of times we don't know what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is, here's what it was. In the old ancient time in Rome, if a person killed somebody and they did it and it was murder, and they didn't sentence them to murder, to die, but they made it worse than that. They would take the corpse, the person that they killed, and tie them to their bodies. And they had to walk around with that person on their body, tied to their body, with the stench of the petrified, of the rottenness skin rotten. They had to smell all of that. They had to do all of that because they're the one that killed that person. And they had to be the one that, Natasha, thank you for watching. So they had to be the one that would bear that stench and that sin. And so when you don't forgive, you're tied, that is, the person is tied to you. That means they're tied to your mind, they're tied to your thoughts, they're tied to your way. You're carrying them with you. And the only way you can get them off of your back, the only way you can do it is to release them. And so when that person had petrified and nothing but a skeleton and no longer smell, then they would cut that person a loop. And that means that person was free to walk around, to lay down in comfort and so forth, without that person being on them to remind them of what they did. So when you cut the cord and release a person and forgive them for everything that you think that they've done, then you are forgiving them, and God will forgive you. That's right. He said in our prayer, structured prayer, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you don't forgive your debtors, then God don't forgive you. A lot of times you may be wondering why God didn't answer your prayer, why God didn't do this for you and so forth. Think about, is there somebody you holding hostage in your mind? Is there somebody that you're holding hostage that did something for you, to you, and you still holding them hostage? Still holding them hostage. Now, here's what you have to understand. When we forgive, and that's why Paul used the covenant, baptism, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When Christ rose, he forgave us of all our deeds. He took our place. He took sin out of our life. All of those things went by him just being risen from the dead, by him being touched on the cross. He forgave us of all of our sin when we came to him and asked him to do it. And so before we believed in Christ, our nature was evil. We were disobedient. We were rebellious, and we ignored God. Even at our best, we did not love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. We didn't love God. But Christians have a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he have a new nature. And then Romans 6:6 said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, that means from now on, we shall not serve sin. So that old body is dead. That's right, it is dead. And so since that old body is dead, we don't obey that old body anymore by holding grudges. We only hurt ourselves. only hurt ourselves. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's right. Not old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So we're a new creature. We got a new mind. We got a new mind. That's why our mind have to be renewed, so we don't hold in all this hostility of what somebody did. You know, I've talked with people in my counseling. I've talked with people, and they were saying to me, well, this person did this to me, and they did that, and I will never forget them. I just can't let it go out of my mind. And I said to them, when did they do it? Well, in 1965 or 10 or 15 years ago. And you're still holding that in your heart. Your prayers are not being answered because you're holding hostility in your heart. Let go. Let go. Look, we have come through this thing today. And I know that there's a many of you, and there's some of you absolutely angry at God for this pandemic. You're angry at God. You're saying that, God, why did you allow this coronavirus to take my daddy, my mother, my sister, my child? You're mad at God. But let me tell you something. All you need to do, thank you, Sister McIntyre. I see your name there. Thank you for listening. All we have to do is allow God to forgive yourself for thinking that way, and allow God love, his kindness. Think about this. Your mother may be gone. Your dad is gone. Your husband, your wife, and I know those, your children. That's a sad, sad thing. But thank God that you're still here. Thank God that you're still here. And I know some of you at this particular time, the devil is putting in your mind, I want to go too. I want to join him. But the reason why that you are still here, I want you to know why you're still here. You was not in the strip. It's not in God's strip to take you right now. It's not written that this is your day that God's going to take you. Thank you, Sister Philip. This is not your day that God have written that I'm going to take you. It's still a purpose that God have in your life. That's why you are still here. And so don't go around making like you're not a robot. And don't go around acting like a robot. We still have feeling after we get saved. We know, God knows we have feeling. We still have feeling. And sometimes, you know, sin don't disappear because we got saved. Sometimes we feel like doing stuff, and sometimes we actually do stuff. But it doesn't mean that God has forgotten us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't still love us. God still loves us, but he wants us to get created in us to clean heart, that we can forgive these people and forgive anybody that has hurt us and forgive them, and so that you can move on with your life. That's right. You can move on with your life. And if you move on with your life, you're going to find that, listen, what you can do, what I'm telling you now, you need to share this, because there's a lot of people hurting. Share it. Tell somebody about it. They are hurting. They've lost loved one. You've lost loved one. I've lost loved one. I'm a pastor. One of the greatest hurt it is in this pandemic is that I can't go to the hospital to visit the people that are sick. And we can't hardly have the funerals at the church without restriction of how many can show up and all the things that we have to do. And that's a hurt, but we have to follow these instructions. And so we are at sort of a thing. But don't hold hostility in your heart against the people that's just implementing the law. Forgive them and let God work in you. Now, Galatians 2:20 said, I have been crucified with Christ. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, and I myself no longer live, but Christ live in me. And the real life I now have within my body is a result of my trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul said, it's no longer me living. I'm not the one that's living in this body now. I'm living now in the body of Christ, and it's a new man in me. It's a new man in me. And Paul said the handwriting, a requirement that was against the legal demands of keeping the Old Testament law, they are no longer in us if we love Jesus and keep Jesus and as our Lord and our Savior. He, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, is the thing that will keep us. And I thank God for the grace that he showed toward us. I thank God for everything that he's doing and everything that he's going to continue to do. I thank God for it. His death and burial on the cross is the reason I'm here today. It's the reason that I can bring you some moments of inspiration. Now, let me tell you something. When you forgive, it frees you from demonic ruling over you. The reason why the devil can rule over you is when you get on his territory. When you're lying, you're cheating, and you're stealing and doing a lot of stuff, that you're on the devil territory. So the demon can rule over you. But the grace of God, when God saved you and from sin and saved you out of sin, the second thing, he freed you from the god of this world. That's right, the god of this world, that's Satan. He freed you from fallen angels. Number three, he freed you from the government and in false teaching. All of those things, you know false teaching when you hear it. It's something about the truth. When you hear the truth, you know the truth. That's right, you know the truth. But when you know the truth, and the truth is the truth by itself. And we know that Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. I'm the light. Everything. That's me. And so we know that in him we live and we move and we have our being. So Jesus released a miracle of forgiveness. Every time you forgive somebody, that's a miracle. God unleashed the power of God into your life. It unleashed some things that God wanted to do for you and God wanted to say to you, and you wouldn't have listened to him, but he released that thing that now you can, God will hear you, and you say, my God, why didn't God do this at a later time? All this time I've been waiting. Well, God was waiting on you. You wasn't waiting on God. God was waiting on you. We always put it, well, I'm waiting on God. God, you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you, because in due season. See, we have a season that God gonna bless us. But if we don't repent and we don't forgive people, our seasons get longer, 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 and longer. And so, therefore, you got a drought in our life. We have a drought in our life. And that drought in our life is what causes us to break up, to have all of these discouragement and dishonest and all of these things. And the devil is trying to entice you to do something that God don't want you to do. Now, God, first thing he did with his disciples, he taught them to pray and say, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, if you got somebody you're holding something against and you want them to, somebody holding something against you and you want them to forgive you, then you got to forgive the person that you are indebted to. Now, he canceled out the degree of debt. Now, he forgiven us. His forgiveness and debt wiped out the law and the regulation. We couldn't keep at all the sins we have accumulated. We didn't know when we came to God that we could confess every sin we done. We did so many sins, we couldn't confess them all. So we just said, God, forgive me for all of my sin. For the one I did and the one I've forgotten and the one that I may do and don't even know it. Omission, I don't even know it. I don't know their sin. Forgive me for all of them. That should be in our daily prayer. And God will counsel them out. That's right. He will counsel them out. If people don't respond to our forgiveness, it's become their problem, not ours. If I ask you to forgive me for doing something and you said, I'm not going to forgive you, that's your problem. Now, I did what I'm supposed to do. I forgave you. You may not accept it, but I forgave you. That's right. So it's in history that there was a man that was a president that forgave a man, and the man was going to be hung, and he forgave the man. And the man that was going to be hung told him, I do not want your pardon. Don't pardon me. And so he being the president, he said, he went to the Supreme Court and said, I am the president, and I said this man should be pardoned. Why don't you? And he said he didn't want to be pardoned. So why don't he pardon him? Because I have the words and authority to do it. And the Justice Department said that if the party does not accept your pardon, then let the party hang. He have a right to be hung because he did not accept the pardon. And let me tell you something. If you don't accept Jesus Christ's pardon, then it's still your fault, because Jesus Christ has forgiven us for everything that we've done. He wiped out that old slate. He cleaned it. We are fresh. We are new. We are like a piece of cloth. There's no spot. There are therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For in the flesh, we could not please God. But now in the Spirit, we can please God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Latonya. So this is what we do. So he disarmed the principality of power. When Jesus forgave us our sin, for our debts, forgiven us. He's torn up hell playground. He tore up hell playground. Our forgiveness of other destroyed the best laid plan of the enemy had there. He tore up all of the process that the enemy had made. My God, he did it. And I'm so glad that God did it for us. And since God did it for us, he'll do it for every one of us. That's right. He'll do it for every one of us. And so Paul said, well, let's look at what John said in John 14, 13. I don't have much more time to talk to you, Jesus said, for the evil prince of this world approaches. He have no power over me. So don't worry about the devil approaching, he said. He have no power over me, but I want to tell you that are listening, I want to tell you that are with me, that you have the power to disarm the principality of power. You can disarm him. Now, Paul was telling Ephesians in 4:26-27, if you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudges. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Stay on your anger. Get over it quickly. For when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. That's why you know you have to control your temper. Thank you, Brother Valor. Thank you for listening so much. I appreciate that. Now, we cannot give the devil a foothold over us, because if you give him a foot, guess what? He's going to take a mile. He's going to take something extra. And we don't want him to take anything extra from us. Now, we don't want to give him a further reason that he can have power over. Unforgiveness in any form gives Satan a comfortable place of darkness that becomes a legal handle of hardship on our life, from which he can take advantage of you or me and make our life miserable. So let's don't give the devil that opportunity to do what he want to do to us. Let's praise God for what God's going to do. Oh, I want you to pass this on. I know I can heal somebody now. So that's why I'm not being blessed. That's why I'm having problems. I'm still allowing Sister Squash to do this to me. I can't stand Brother Pumpkin. I can't stand Brother Seagull. That's why my prayers are not being answered. I'm glad that you're saying this, Pastor. And I know some of us need this. I need this myself, because all the things that have transpired these last 4 years, and there's still some stuff that's transpiring. That, you know, no, I didn't like it all. And sometimes I did get angry. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. And I tried to hold my peace and not sin. And I know that some of the stuff happening that you saw that happened. But now we got a new slate turned over. Let's give this man an opportunity. Let's give President Biden an opportunity, a turnover. He's not just turning over a new leaf, but he's turning over a new book. He's writing a whole new book in this chapter of the United States of America. We're supposed to be united, not divided states of the United States, not Republican, not Democrats, and not this. And thank you, Sister Haywood, not all of these folks, but we're supposed to be one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. Not just liberty and justice for a few, but liberty and justice for all. What they did for those people the other day that went into the Capitol, if we had did that and other folks had did it, there wouldn't have been enough mobs and would have been enough mortuary to take us in. But they did not. When one person died, two people died. They were beating police officers and all that stuff. They were doing the things against the Constitution and against nature that they did. But what we got to look at, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's forgive those people. Let's forgive haters. Let's forgive people. This, see, we're talking about the virus. The coronavirus, we talk about that, a virus we can't see. Well, I want you to know another virus that's been around for a long time, and they don't have any vaccine for that. The only somebody can give a vaccine for hatred. You can't see hatred. You can't see bigot. You can't see prejudice or none of those things, but they're a virus that goes around. It's a virus that can hurt you. It's a virus that can destroy you. But the Holy Ghost, the only thing we need to be inoculated with is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gave us a vaccine that knocks out hate and brought in love. And the Bible said love is the strongest. The love is the strongest power on earth. Love covers a multitude of faults. Love is the thing that keeps us going. And so I want to say to you that the more hatreds come in, the more love come in. The more lies that are told, the more truth be told. And that's what we got to do. No, the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, yes, Jackie Marshall, I see you. I see his name there. God bless you, and I thank you so much. We are obligated to forgive whether they deserve it or not. That's right. We are obligated to forgive this past administration. We are obligated to forgive the past senator. We are obligated to forgive our brothers and sisters. We are obligated to forgive pastors and elders and ministers, missionaries that have did things that to you or said things that hurt you. You are obligated to forgive them. You are obligated to forgive the church that somebody said something. You left the church and say you're never going back in another church. You need to forgive them, because the devil tricked you into having him, so you'll be an open field for him to do what he want to do. Forgiveness of God Forgiveness of God is a tool for freedom and power in our hand. When we feel emotional trapped and trapped by circumstances or wrongdoing of others, God will inspire us with love and with hope. Jesus gave us the supreme example for our forgiveness on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. On the cross, that's what he said. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. My God, and I'm saying to you, whatever somebody have done to you, whatever you're going through today, whatever problems you're confronted with, forgive them. Don't let them hold you hostage. Say to that person, you're not going to hold me hostage anymore. And if they've gone away, even if they're dead, forgive them. Write a note and say, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them for what they did to me when I was a child. I forgive them for what they did for me in my teenage. I forgive that person for passing over me in the job. I forgive the person for looking over me in the church. I forgive that person. I forgive them. I don't want to be hitched to them anymore. And all we need to do is forgive and release others. So the power of God, God will release into us power. My God, forgiveness is one of the least known secrets of answered prayer. A lot of folks don't know why their prayers are not answered. They simply are not answered because they have not released them. Thank you, Sister Scott. See you here. Oh, God, hallelujah. I feel happy now. My God, I feel that somebody need feel better now because they feel they know how to release that enemy that's holding you hostage, that enemy of the mind that said you can't forgive them, that enemy of the mind said, if I forgive them, they got by. They didn't get by. They just made you think they got away, but they didn't get by. God holds them, and they know what they did to you. And don't worry about that. They know what they did to you. And God hold them hostage until they repent also. And so let's repent. Let's repent. Christian repent to other. There's a fight the devil got now between Christian. They're warring. And here is the Congress, and here's the senator, and here's the president calling for harmony, calling for peace. Don't you understand that peace began at the house of God? If the church can't get along, if the Baptists and Methodists, Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal and Methodists and United and all these things can't get along, and they all said, we all said we are Christian and we can't get along. We can't cross the aisle. We can't come up across the fence. We got gates at that place to keep other folks out. How is the world going to come together if we can't come together? We need a national day of repentance. Good to see you. Thank you, Brother Simmons. We need a national day of repentance where we all come together and repent together for everything we've done and get a fresh start in this world. Get a fresh start in your mind. Oh, God, I magnify you and I praise you today. Listen, in my closing, notice what happened. The story of Esau and Jacob. They was brothers. That's right. They was brothers. They was twins. And Esau was born first. And Jacob was holding on to his heel because he had that mind that he needed to be first. He wanted the birthright. Even though God had told him that had told Elizabeth that he would be first, he couldn't wait. He couldn't wait when his brother needed him the most. He was a hunter and he didn't catch anything and he didn't have any food and he was hungry. Jacob had some red soup, tomatoes, vegetables, and so forth. And he said to him, give me some of that, I perish. And Jacob said, the only way I'll do it, you got to give me your birthright. And Esau said, what do my birthright mean to me now? And I'm starving. Now, this is the thing. See, this is what happened. When you're hurting, don't allow the devil to take advantage of you. And when you die for unforgiveness in your heart, the devil can take advantage of you. He took advantage of Esau. It was his fault. He took advantage of Esau. Esau ate the pottage and he gave Jacob his birthright. And then when Isaac told his wife to go and tell Esau to make him some of that meat that he desired and that wild meat that he desired, then she told Jacob, she cooked it for him, killed a lamb and put the goat hair on Jacob's hand because Jacob was smooth skinned and Esau was hairy. And when Isaac couldn't see that, well, Jacob came in and said, here's the food that you die. And he ate it. And he said to Jacob, said, it's the voice of Jacob, but it's the hands of Esau. And Jacob act like he was Esau, and Isaac gave him his blessing. And when Esau brought in the food, then Isaac recognized his voice, and he said, Jacob have already got the blessing, and I just have another few blessings for you. And from that moment, Esau hated Jacob, and Jacob's mother had to send him to Laban, and Laban was a brother, another trickster, and he was a better trickster than Jacob. Jacob was a trickster, that's what his name meant, trickster. But Jacob was going to the head trickster, which was Laban, his brother, and his brother-in-law, his uncle, and his uncle out-tricked him for 20 years. And Jacob said, I got to go back. If I go back, I'm in trouble because Esau is waiting on me to kill me. And Jacob was still tricking on his way back. He was putting his servants in front of him, and he was making up the last part. So if they kill them, then they'll spare me. Give Esau these sheep and cattle and goats and all this stuff. Just I want to make it up with it. But Esau, in the 20 years, God had blessed him. Thank you, Brother Johnson. God had blessed him. And I want to tell you something. God had talked to Esau. God had made Esau into a leader. Esau had men working for him, had a whole army that he was commanded and so forth. And he told his servant, I don't need anything from Jacob. I just want to be Jacob's servant. I just want to be his brother. That's right, Tina. I just want to be his brother. That's all I want to be, is his brother. And let me tell you something. There's some people that you owe apology to, and you thinking that they won't accept it, but they've already forgiven you. They already forgot what you've done, and they're just waiting for you to come back. They're just waiting for you to come back and tell them this or that. They're looking for you. They're looking every day. Every day they're praying. Said God, said even if they don't for come back and say they're sorry, I'm just waiting and looking for them to show up again, because I want to bless them again. And your blessing is on the other side of your forgiveness. The more people you forgive that you are indebted to, the more your blessing is going to pour out. And I am declaring and I'm decreeing that as we forgive this year, those that have hurt us, those that have did things wrong to us, the people that you're holding hostage for their attitudes and everything, God is going to open up a door for you. God going to make a way for you because you are forgiving them. And my God, Jacob and Esau became best of friends. And so you ought to be friends now with those that you are holding stuff in against them simply because they did stuff for against you. Father, I pray now that right now that the people that don't know you, that are watching me, even at a later date, that they would pray this prayer. Father, forgive me for all of my sin. And I want Jesus Christ, the one that died and was buried on the third day and rose again, to come into my heart and save me from this untold generation. I repent, God, and I ask you to forgive me for those that have violated me and those that have hurt me. Whatever they've done, God, I forgive them. And I'm out, God, I ask you to forgive me for holding it in my heart. And God, make clean me, creating me a new heart, creating me a new spirit. Oh, God, awaken me now. Awaken me, God, that I may be awoke. I'll be waking up, God, from the sin that hold me hostage. I love my brother. I love those that violated me. And I am forgiving them today, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray that doors of finance will be open. I pray that doors of opportunity will be open. I pray that the sick, God, will be healed. I pray that those in hospitals, God, will be well in the name of Jesus. I break the yoke of the devil everywhere. And I commit, God, and I declare blessing on these that are listening, whatever time it is, God, when they repent, God, for holding somebody else in their mind hostage, that you will release blessing that's been held up, God, in the name of Jesus. And I give you the glory and I give you the praise in that name that's above every name, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank God. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for you that are tuned in. And listen, I would love for you to plant a seed in moments of inspiration. If you're enjoying this and this is helping you, plant a seed in moments of inspiration and help keep me getting things so that I can bring this to you. And thank you so much for listening on this day of the inauguration. You took the time out, your precious time that you could have been watching all the other things that are going on, all the commentators and so forth. You chose to tune in to moments of inspiration. And I want you to know I don't take that lightly. I thank you from the depth of my heart. That's right. I thank you. And I pray that you, if you're watching the stream, they got it on the stream. They should have up there that you can go through PushPay. And PushPay is an app that you download. If you got that app already download, in a matter of minutes, you can just send to Great Open Door Worldwide Minute and then just mark it as Moments of Inspiration. Or you can go, if you don't have PushPay, then you can go to Giveify. And the same thing on Giverfy. If you already have the app downloaded, if not, you can mail it to 135 West Victoria Street. Again, 135 West Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach, California, 90805. 135 West Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach, California, 90805. Or as some do that live in the area, they come by and they drop it off. I'll drop it through the mail slot. God bless you. And I thank you so very, very much for being with me today on Moments of Inspiration. And we will be here on Thursday night streaming live. And I pray that you that have been listening today and watching today will post this for someone else to watch it, because there's a lot of folks that have problems. And let's forgive those. Let's forgive this generation. Let's forgive the people that all the hate that we saw on a couple of weeks ago. This is not the end, it's just the beginning of sorrow. Until next week, may God continue to flourish with you, flourish in you, moments of inspiration. God bless you and have a blessed day.